Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cybersecurity Matters. I am your host, Christian Redshaw, and with me is my co-host, my highly skilled co-host, Mr. Dominic Vogel.
I'm waiting for you to use the word completely useless next time. But let's jump right to it. Our guest today is Luke Allen. He is the CEO of R-Town, a marketing firm here in Vancouver. I know very little about marketing, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation with him. I think we're going to learn quite a bit.
Get the notebook out. So I'm going to bring Luke in, let him sit in this chair. I'll jump over here, bring a seat in for me, and we'll be right back.
Luke, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join Christian and I. We're really looking forward to this convo.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Dominic.
So, first off, I know before we got started there, I was really marveling at your selfie skill game there. Even today, when I go on a date with my wife, she always says, "Take a selfie of us." And I can't for the life of me. My fingers are fumbling. I've dropped my phone before, so
you have to find your best side and then.
Well, she always does it, and she's much shorter than me, so it never works. So anyway, maybe we can talk about that offline.
Well, 6.5 years running a marketing agency, in digital. I appreciate the compliments. Pre-R-Town, no selfie skill. Skills post R-Town mandatory. Sure. Got to have that game. Charts. It's like essential. So yeah.
Well, maybe that's what we'll start with. Tell us more about R-Town and sure. what it does and why it exists.
Yeah. So founded the company with a partner 6.5 years ago. In the world of digital, that means, we've been alive for about half of the lifetime existence of where digital was, a force for driving business forward. Yep. And in those terms, it's almost like a lifetime in our industry. So today we're positioned as a digital CMO for hire, mm-hmm. with a team to execute the plan. What that means is we help mid-market growing brands with both digital strategy and execution, primarily accountable for helping them grow. So some folks who are marketing savvy would think of us as a performance marketing company. Other people think of it as conversion rate optimization. Mm-hmm. Leave it to the world of marketing businesses to sort of come up with lots of different words that mean the same thing. Really, we help businesses grow. We generate leads. We help them with brand awareness. And we partner with growing firms. And do both strategy and execution.
That's so awesome.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I'm going to ask two quick questions.
Sure.
First one, you mentioned mid-market. Are there particular sectors that seem to be more willing partners or clients for you than other sectors?
Because of our history, we came out of the gates serving the smaller end of the market, launching R-Town in various towns. So we've always served SMB, but I'd say our evolution has been our strategy. Even was we entered at the sort of smaller end of the market, and we've moved up market. So we cut our teeth, created a skill set and capabilities and expertise. And then moved up market. But because of where we come, that meant we were generalists. So we've served lots of different industries. So that's the perspective I come at this stuff with, and that's why we talk about the fact that we're good at strategy and execution.
Interesting.
At a high level, every business needs digital, right? Yeah. And so the there's just no putting the genie back in the bottle. The internet is not going anywhere. Yep. I love the comment, depending on what you think about Jeff Bezos, but he can be a polarizing figure, but I do like the one thought that he's shared, and so I'll piggyback off of it. He talks a lot about, people ask him, what's going to change? What's going to change? And where's the puck going? And in Canada, we're like, oh, Gretzky was so great because he knew where the puck was going. So Jeff Bezos says, we try not to think about strategy from the point of view of what's going to change, but from the point of view of what's not going to change. And so as business owners think about their business, anyone who's not in the game of digital, this is not going away. You absolutely have to think of the internet as a place where your business is going to, obtain value, capture value. Mm-hmm. That's a way to say what verticals, all of them need the internet in some capacity, but They don't need all of it and each of the things. So this is where it gets hard for business leaders today, is because you got so many different channels, so many different platforms.
Yeah.
Not all of them overlap for every single type of business. And so strategy becomes so important in knowing where to put your effort and energy for what purpose. And that's where that, you know, it's sort of saying, strategy is essentially saying yes to certain things that are specific and no to certain things that are specific so that you can get good at creating the value in that area.
Right? Can I just interject a question between your two questions?
No, you may not be, of course.
So just kind of a sub-question on
that.
Because you're dealing with so many different types of businesses, there's that subject matter expertise in each one of these kind of niches.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that? Because you have your area, obviously.
Yeah,
you have your lane.
Absolutely. So, and this might be an R-Town specific answer, and you know, secret sauce, so to speak. But I'll keep it kind of high level. I mean, we think in terms of the buyers, but there's always buyers and sellers. And it doesn't matter if it's B2C or a B2B business. We think, our process is we think in terms of business to human, or really it's human to human. And then we work back from that and put in our process and technology stack to drive that toward that. So really it's sort of in partnership with our clients. We're an extension of their team. And the beauty of serving, you know, a mid-market brand that wants to grow is they've figured out some of, you know, who they serve. They, you know, they got some sense of buyer persona and they created some avatars maybe. They got some sense of their brand. They got good sense of their value proposition. They've got some success. They have a market. You know, we'll come in and help amplify that. So we take a lot of what they know and we'll be able to execute and then prove the hypotheses through the work that we do.
So your approach and your process draws it out of them.
That's right.
And you're able to recognize it when you've, once you've landed in that place.
And then often we're helping clients understand that it's like, so sometimes we'll get their version of this, but it's also us helping them understand that it's their customers' story that matters. And so So this is a hard thing for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Such a familiar ring for us, my goodness.
Like the story isn't your story that resonates with the audience.
Who cares
about your customer. Yeah, exactly. We got to get over ourselves and think from the customer's point of view. So the stories we need to be telling aren't our stories. The stories we need to be telling are our customers' stories. And I use customer here with you know, sort of a broad definition. A customer can be an employee. A customer can be, in the sense of a, maybe a franchise system. It could be an entrepreneur that's looking to invest in a franchise system. You know, a customer could be a customer, like what your product or service is designed to serve. All of those customers, you know, have the same journey going on. That you know, traditional buyers have, you know, awareness of my problem, awareness of the available options to solve it, you know, and then who else vouches for this being a great experience, and then, you know, I'm in, and that's just the start of the journey of a customer. And so if I use the an employee as an example of a customer journey, I'm unemployed. I have these skills. But this experience, and I know that these cultures resonate with me, and these kinds of environments don't. Oh, look at this! I got a few options out there. People looking for my skills that, you know, and they're looking for overlap of the things that they can bring and cultures they thrive in, and then they select. Right. So the buyer journey, no matter what, is the same. Whether it's, you know, no matter what it is, everyone's making choices all day long and rationalizing those choices. The process is the same at a psychological level. It's the same.
That's really, really interesting. And the it was interesting that you mentioned that, like, every company now, we're in a digital economy. Even if you're selling tacos out of the back of your mom's Volvo, there's a you likely have some store, online stores or something, or at least online brand there. From a branding perspective, and in terms of, you know, current social media outlets or platforms, are certain ones better than others for organizations to embrace? Does it depend what industry you're in, if you're doing B2B or B2C? What are sort of some things that businesses could think about?
Yeah, yeah, it's a really great question, and this is really kind of, we're coming down a level into how do we...
should we do Snapchat?
Right, TikTok? Yes.
Because we're not doing that.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, this is a great question, and you know, the answer is inside everyone already.
Right.
You intuitively know, is my audience really on Snapchat? Yeah. Right. So you get these people coming out and they try to do these. So the high level stuff is meant to address a broader audience.
Right.
But really, when the rubber meets the road, again, this is where strategy is super important. It's being selective in what you say yes to and what you say no to, and being very like sort of dogged about it.
So
it really, again, boils down to who are you trying to attract? Mm-hmm. Where are they, you know, marketing at a fundamental, where are they spending their time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What messages resonate with them? Yes. Mm-hmm. And are we authentically addressing that need?
Yes.
Like
that's
really,
awesome.
So that's the decision pathway. And then you'll pick your marketing channels and your content and you know, what you decide to execute on will flow from those decisions.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Dominic and I, we're looking forward to having you on and, you know, learning from you.
Yeah.
This is not just, you know, us interviewing you for the benefit of, you know, people watching. This is like, we really
this
want
to. This was a very selfish interview.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be here as well.
There's actually an agenda to this conversation. But I mean, you mentioned that, you know, it is about the customer. And so this is kind of an interesting challenge for us, because it's like, if we want to highlight a customer, it's like, okay, here is company X. They've been breached, they've been hacked, and they don't want anybody to know about it necessarily. So the idea is that we want to make them look good.
Right.
You know, how do we approach such a sensitive scenario?
Right.
And maybe it's something you need to think about, because it works in most cases.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things that we haven't necessarily delved into. How do we showcase people in those sensitive things? Like, yes, they're doing the right thing, and they should be applauded for that.
But right,
there are
some
sensitive private aspects to it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can only imagine if, you know, business like yours, marketing it becomes
like
difficult.
Like driving with the brakes on.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, a lot of what it is, it's about, you need the business owner, the entrepreneur who's going to invest, or the you know, financial buyer to understand the risks.
Yes.
So marketing a business like this would be a question of how do we...
We have clients, but we're not telling you who they are.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It's going to be really, that social proof part will be really hard.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it'll come down to the stories you tell, without overemphasizing the fear stuff, but making sure that's like, honestly.
Ours.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
again, this may be too in the weeds from a social media platform. I know there's both Christian and I are really big on LinkedIn. You know, we've invested a lot of time on
that
platform.
Yeah, that'd be a great one for you guys,
and
for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. Snapchat was a dead end.
Yeah.
That's why those filters are.
Yeah.
And non-starters.
The filters didn't do it for you? Fair enough, yeah.
I look pretty good as a cat sometimes, right? But there's a lot of myths in terms of, or it's hard to find at least good advice, because seemingly everyone and their uncle calls themselves a LinkedIn expert on LinkedIn. There's a lot of noise, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the sort of myths we've both been trying to figure out is, you know, is there an optimum time to be posting?
Right,
you know,
should
we? Are there certain hashtags that we should be using? Like I said, it's with everything on the internet, it's one person says another, someone says something else. It's what is the truth? Or maybe there is no truth. Maybe it's just random. I don't know.
The approach, again, I come back to, this is why I like to use that Jeff Bezos line,
is
bank on what you believe isn't going to change.
Yes.
So today, sure, maybe there's a body of evidence that says Tuesdays at 5 for whatever.
We're here.
But, you know, can you bank on that long term? Is that a long term strategy?
Yeah.
Is that something to build strategy around?
That's very
true. It's something to maybe know about in the moment.
Yeah.
But not to go long on or say absolutely, and that's the policy. It's not you can't write policy around digital in the nuance of the tactical day to day. But we do know that at its fundamental level, social networks are about bringing people together, and generally people come together around shared interests.
Yes.
And we're generally selecting things from a psychological point of view, from the place of, is this for me, right? And so everyone's liking or sharing or commenting on things based on that, you know, that point of view.
Yeah.
And so no matter what, if you're creating content that your ideal customer or partner, or whomever you're trying to create community around, mm-hmm. cares about, and it's truly valuable and truly a give, that's going to go farther than making sure you do this post at, you know, that strategy and that line of thinking will serve you better long term than figuring out the times of days and, you know, all that. Then now there's other science involved in social media, ads, content, ad groups and figuring out how to define those. I mean, there's a whole, you know, sort of science around that and experimentation around that.
On the paid side.
On the paid side. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And reaching your audience with the right things and then the right sub tactics to follow on with, you know, things like retargeting once they come, can you follow them around? But if you really zero in on subject matter expertise and you're writing and sharing things that you truly know about, that stuff's going to go farther than you know, figuring out the day-to-day hacks. And that's just from a high-level point of view.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
So stay true and stay expert on your core business and that. And then, you know, bring in others who are experts at figuring out the day-to-day changes.
The tactical things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I can't wait to rewatch this episode. I have my notebook out.
Thinking exactly the same as me.
Yeah.
I can only take so much in here as my wheels are turning.
We are both learning so much from you.
What's going on in your face there?
Yeah.
So just a bit of a switching tracks over to you and to your clients.
Mm.
One thing I see that you do is, or you talk about the delivering predictable revenue.
Mm-hmm.
How did you arrive at that point where that's what you're deciding to call it, that you deliver to your clients, and how does that message resonate with your clients or potential?
It's a good question. So that's a relatively new message for us. So we've been, I think, running with that for the last year. It was born out of all of our previous practice. We've invested heavily in our reporting engine, so clients get the benefit with us of understanding attribution to you know, lead or revenue from marketing dollar invested in their terms. Mm-hmm. So it's customized reporting to the customer that we're serving based on the targets, the avatars, the sort of named customers they're trying to attract. Because we've been doing this for so long, we've got a number of reports that are showing, you know, sort of return on investment and year-on-year spikes in growth and so on. So our business is getting a lot more predictable and able to deliver that promise. So the nature of the work and the value that's being created is highly intangible unless you break it down into something that
business terms.
Business terms and something that we can agree on. I love the Yuval Harari book. I think it's Sapiens, and the term he uses is intersubjective belief.
Yeah.
Anytime you have, like, you know, vendor and client, especially in a B2B context, and there's money being transacted, there's always pressure on return on investment and show me the value for dollar invested. Yeah. I mean, that's just a natural pressure in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you have to create intersubjective belief between client and vendor. And that's done through reporting. Yeah. And so then reporting helps us get to a level of predictability because there is a lot of science and technology at play in the work we do for clients. We can sort of confidently say, like, this is a journey we're going to go on, and we're going to get you to a path of getting some consistent repeat, inbound interest, and then tie that to revenue. Wow. Like, one of my favorite personal stories.
Hard to say no to that.
Hard to say no. Yeah, one of my personal favorite stories is a customer, which I won't name because they're trying to sell their business. They wanted to sell it, and they wanted to start a new business, and we were going through reporting and a review.
Yeah.
And it's a father with his son, so family-owned business, done quite well. And we're looking at the data, and we're generating, for about 2.5 years, we were looking at a six-month snapshot, but for about 2.5 years, we were generating consistent, repeatable inbound flow of leads with a really tight close rate and average order size, so we could predictably show return on investment every single month.
Yeah.
And you know, so the question was, can we take this and just apply this to NewCo because we want to sell the business we're in?
Yeah.
So the answer was like, of course, no.
Right.
New business is going to require its own strategy and its own approach. But the good news is if you're looking to sell this, this is what your buyer will buy.
Yes.
I mean, this is a growth engine that's built and working for your company that you can ask for more value from a buyer because it's bankable.
And
I just remember the emotion in the room was like, holy crap. It was like a dreams come true that the dad was in front of his son, like, whoa, I just remember goosebumps because I was like, this is why I built my company.
So
I mean, this is so cool. Like, but anyway,
Well, so you mentioned transferable processes into the from one company to the next,
right.
And the buying persona or the buying profile. Do you find that there are some commonalities between the clients that you deal with that you can say, okay, we've seen this persona before.
Yeah,
we can. We can take our experience and apply the principles here and exploit that.
It's pattern recognition and then applying it to similar whilst maintaining strict confidentiality between customer segments. Yeah. But
no, that's very good.
Absolutely.
That's good to know. And so basically your new clients will be able to leverage your experience and current situations.
That's it.
One more quick question. Mm-hmm. SEO.
Okay.
We don't really do it.
Okay. Yeah.
But we have. I have had experience with it in past lives.
Yeah.
How important is that for a company to do? Is it still, a very relevant topic, or how relevant is it considering the changing requirements and algorithms of Google? The work that goes.
So SEO in our industry, just to level set on terms and what we mean. Mm-hmm. Refers to organic search results.
Right.
So different than in our industry, there's SEM, search engine marketing.
Right.
Also known as PPC or pay-per-click. Yeah. Also known as Google Ads. Mm-hmm. Again, leave it to the world of marketing to come up with seven terms that mean the same thing and confuse the hell
it's
out of everyone.
It's not helpful for us.
It's not helpful for anyone except marketers.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a frustrating thing for me. So rant aside, SEO means you're placing your website for specific keywords that your core customer might search for.
Yes.
If search is part of your customer's typical journey, they decide that they need support in some capacity, they'll go to Google, and typically at a local level, if you're serving a local market, they'll have long tail search for IT security firms, Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Just if I'm going to use your guys.
Yep, yeah.
So if that is part of their journey and you know this, then it's absolutely an important place to focus some energy into. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not always that important for, depending on the business. Your customer may not be searching for those things.
Yeah.
If you're an innovative brand with something brand new to market, let's just say tablet, for example.
Yeah.
I'm just riffing here. Yeah. This isn't planned.
Riff away.
At one point, there were no tablets.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
weren't Google searching tablets,
yes.
right? And then all of a sudden, tablets come out and they become popularized.
Right.
I wouldn't have done marketing, keyword tablet to get your tablet business found pre tablets becoming a commonly understood thing. Mm. So
that's right.
If you're just trying to be helpful for a broader audience here.
Yeah.
If you're doing something that's more commonplace and everyday and highly searched, absolutely. And so the key thing is, before you decide to go, you can do a little bit of investment. If you're not sure, you can do a little bit of investment and find out. So the data is there, and we can, professional shops can pull that data and advise on whether or not it's going to be an important part of your customer's journey. So, for example, we can search things like search volumes for specific keywords on Google.
Interesting.
And if you're trying to win for certain words, but no one's searching for them, the answer is don't invest in those keywords.
Right.
I mean, maybe you got the words wrong,
so
test a couple of other words.
Yeah.
But again, if you're testing a few different words and no one's searching for them, you know, so that's a later thing. Focus your marketing efforts in other places first. Right, so it's just about picking, getting clear on what to do and in what order.
Yeah.
Later, when there's a category, then you want to, you know. So like HubSpot owns the word inbound now.
Interesting.
You know, so HubSpot is just, you know, depending on how you look at them, they're a CRM, they're a marketing platform, they're a marketing automation platform. I mean, they're a software company that's grown really, really well.
Yeah.
No one was probably really searching inbound until they popularized the term, and now they own that word,
right?
And so, like, that was an important strategy for them from a marketing point of view, and helped them win a lot of land eventually. Because they become like the Q-tip of your you know, they're like the Q-tip of, you know, that kind of thing, right? Yeah. So, smart strategy.
Luke, thank you so much for this very insightful chat. You know, like I said, Chris and I are going to be rewatching this game tape very closely for all the lessons learned. We're
awesome,
very
guys.
Grateful for your time.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
And it happens to be that it's the first Cybersecurity Matters episode. We've got a new name.
Right.
We've rebranded.
We've rebranded.
Awesome. Congrats.
How fitting that you were such a part of that transition.
I know, right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's big work. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again, Luke.
No problem.
Chris and I will be right back momentarily to wrap things up.
Dominic, I'd say that's a pretty good first episode of Cybersecurity Matters.
Luke came in and absolutely destroyed it. He crushed it. Like, what a fantastic interview. I think you and I were both hanging on his every word. I found that incredibly fascinating.
It was for me and for you. I guess other people will benefit from it too, but I really was drinking it in. And the thing that stood out to me was, first of all, the scientific, mathematical side of things, in that, you know, quantifying things into return on investment obviously speaks my language for sure. And then that whole persona, that buying profile.
I just love how similar that service is. To what we do, you know, so much what he was saying speaks to, you know, from what we do from a cybersecurity perspective, and they do from a marketing perspective. It was just so interesting to hear how these models evolve and how they as a company have evolved and how they work with their clients. Just so much that he shared there from both his guys, the company's journey, as well as how they help clients, how they help customers. I'm very hopeful that anyone listening or watching, you know, if they feel like their company is in that spot of active growth, they need to give R10 a call.
Yeah, and they seem like a growth partner by definition.
Absolutely.
Thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv or this podcast on Conversations That Matter YouTube channel, and there will be a playlist called Cybersecurity Matters, or you can listen to us wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. And we will see you next week.